Hello, I'm Daniel Davis with the Gospel Project for Adults, and you are listening to our weekly leader training podcast. This week, we are on Unit 31, Session 3, titled, The Murdered Servant. Persecution of the early church began early in the book of Acts, and increased throughout. The persecution began, of course, with the crucifixion of Jesus. The threat of further crucifixions for Jesus' followers led them to hide in rooms until the Holy Spirit came upon them. Then, miraculously, they began to preach publicly about Jesus and his crucifixion and resurrection for the salvation of the world. Soon, this led to leaders in the early church being imprisoned, beaten, and threatened with murder. Yet so far, none of them had been put to death. But all of the opposition boiled over in Acts chapters 6 through 7. On account of a false accusation, the religious leaders took extreme measures to stop the spread of the gospel. Measures first leveled at Stephen, one of the first deacons chosen by the church. The account of Stephen's persecution teaches us that even through suffering, God is sovereign and on his throne. Stephen preached the gospel faithfully and with wisdom and boldness, yet the religious leaders responded with hate and murder. Therefore, Stephen was faithful to Jesus, even at the cost of his life. In point one, we see that sharing the gospel requires wisdom. Stephen had been chosen by the church to help serve tables, making sure the Hellenistic widows were not overlooked. This was to free up the apostles to focus on the ministry of the word and on prayer. But being chosen to serve the church did not keep Stephen from sharing the gospel with those outside the church. Full of grace and power, referring to the Holy Spirit dwelling in him as a believer in Jesus, Stephen was performing signs and wonders among the people. These signs and wonders weren't the gospel, but they supported the truth of the gospel that Stephen proclaimed. If Stephen was doing wonders by the power of God, then God must also have been behind the message Stephen preached. But as before, not everyone took this favorably. Some Hellenistic Jews from the Freedmen's Synagogue tried to argue with Stephen, clearly trying to refute the gospel of Jesus. But with the Holy Spirit on Stephen's side, giving him wisdom and boldness, they were powerless. As the later commentary points out, this reflects a theme Luke, the author of Acts, wants to draw out. In his gospel, in Luke 12:11-12, Jesus teaches his disciples to rely on the Holy Spirit to give them the words to say when confronted regarding their gospel message. This is the wisdom necessary for proclaiming and defending the gospel. So, with the people from the synagogue taking their loss on the argument, they went for the next best attack, falsely accusing Stephen of saying things he didn't say. And they got the religious authorities involved. This was the same playbook used against Jesus that led to his crucifixion. So, all of a sudden, Stephen was walking on thin ice. The false accusations themselves were familiar, having been leveled against Jesus first. But at no point did Jesus or Stephen blaspheme Moses or God, nor did they denounce the temple or the law. Their words of truth were either twisted or misunderstood. But that was of little consequence to the people who wanted to get rid of their Christian enemies. As you follow the teaching plan for this point, when you get to the second discussion question on leader page 37, make a point of noting this question came from day one in their daily discipleship guide. Through this, gently encourage your group members to try to keep up with their daily readings so they can develop the habit of daily Bible intake and prepare for each week's group experience, with the goal of contributing to the discussion. This will be for their benefit, and possibly even for the benefit of others in the group, as you all join together in wisdom and knowledge in building one another up through the study of God's Word. In point two, we see that sharing the gospel requires boldness. The focal passage for this point jumps ahead quite a bit to the end of Stephen's defense throughout Acts chapter 7. Stephen had been falsely accused of blaspheming Moses, God, the temple, and the law. When the religious leaders got involved, the high priest asked Stephen if these things were true. As one having wisdom from the Holy Spirit, Stephen saw this as an opportunity. So he launched into a defense that the Gospel Project could be modeled after. Hitting on three significant Old Testament themes, land, law, and tabernacle, Stephen showed how Jesus fulfilled these. Rather than blaspheming such things, Stephen was giving the true meaning and intent behind them, to point all people to the promised Savior who is Jesus Christ. But in tracing these themes through the scriptures, Stephen also indicted the people he was preaching to. Presently, they had rejected Jesus, the righteous one, and resisted the Holy Spirit. And in so doing, they had aligned themselves with those in their own history who had persecuted the prophets, some even to death, just as they had executed Jesus. This defense was not for the weak of heart, but Stephen had boldness from the Holy Spirit to speak these hard words of truth. One could hope that this impassioned defense, fueled by the Holy Spirit, would carry the day, turn hearts and minds, and lead to Stephen's acquittal and the crowd's salvation through faith in Jesus. But that was not to be the case on this day. As the next point shows, though we may be granted wisdom and boldness from the Holy Spirit to proclaim the gospel and to answer our critics, we cannot take for granted that this calling upon our lives comes with a cost. As Jesus said, we must take up our cross and follow him. In point 3, we see that sharing the gospel requires sacrifice. This is not the most happy of subjects to discuss as a part of a Bible study, but we must not overlook the realities associated with being a follower of Jesus and an ambassador of his gospel. Stephen could have backed down, he could have apologized and abandoned the fight, and perhaps walked away with his life. But the wisdom and boldness from the Holy Spirit kept him faithful and forthright. He was calling balls and strikes with supernatural accuracy regarding the hearts of the people in the crowd, and this made his enemies furious. But what's more, Stephen described for the crowd a rare vision of heaven that he got to witness through the Holy Spirit. He saw the glory of God and the resurrected, ascended Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And this put the crowd over the edge. They had executed Jesus, buried Jesus, and denounced him as a blasphemer, a liar, and a criminal. But Stephen saw and proclaimed the truth. This Jesus whom you crucified, the Father raised up and has seated him at his right hand to judge the living and the dead. But another oddity of this vision is that Jesus isn't sitting when Stephen sees him. He's standing. The incarnate Son of God, who created all things and holds all things together, rises from his seat of completed work in response to Stephen, his faithful servant. The commentary in the Leader Guide suggests Jesus may have been interceding for Stephen, or readying himself to receive Stephen into heaven. It seems to me a related reason may have been the significance of this moment. Stephen was about to become the first Christian martyr, stoned to death on account of his witness for Jesus. Here was the first man to take up his cross and follow Jesus unto death, an act of such devotion and sacrifice. And I can see Jesus standing to honor that sacrifice made on his behalf. And it may be this connection is played up even more by the next two things that Stephen says. Echoing Jesus on the cross, when he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," Stephen says, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And echoing Jesus again, Stephen prays for his persecutors, saying, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." At which point, he dies. And as a literary connection, it makes sense that this prayer of Stephen was effective, seeing that the man who oversaw the execution was Saul, who later is saved to become the greatest missionary the world has ever known. We, of course, know him as Paul, the writer of numerous letters in the New Testament. This whole scene is so moving, almost beyond words, as Stephen lays down his life in sacrifice for the honor of his Savior. Not only in the fact that he died, but also in the way he died. Persecution of believers is not fun, and it can be life-threatening. But regardless of its level or intensity, this sacrifice made by believers for the honor of our Savior is worth it, because we also will get to share in the power of Jesus' resurrection. And there's no telling how our witness through persecution can affect the hearts of sinners and persecutors to see Jesus in a fresh light. In his death as the first Christian martyr, Stephen faithfully followed in the footsteps of his Savior. Both Jesus and Stephen were falsely accused and charged with blasphemy. Both prayed for their executioners, and both entrusted their spirits to God as they died. As a follower of Jesus Christ, Stephen reflected his master in life and in death. Because we believers have been saved through the sacrifice and death of Jesus, we too should be willing to sacrifice and bear witness to his great glory, even when we are maligned or persecuted for our faith. Thanks for listening to this week's leader training for the Gospel Project for Adults. For more resources to help you focus your ministry on the gospel, please visit gospelproject.com.